You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Guys, greet the person seated next to you. Give them the high five or just your best Sunday greeting, your best smile, a handshake. We're down to the fourth installment of our current series called Unwavering. And this is basically a several-week character study about Abraham. We've been looking into the life of Abraham for us to learn how to have an unwavering faith, for us to deepen and grow in our faith. How do we do so? You've seen that bumper video a while ago. You've seen those people with amazing stories and testimonies. Relationships being healed, provision coming in, healing happening, restoration of a person's life, all those things. And you wonder, how can I have those breakthroughs? How can I have a faith that's unwavering? Well, that's why we're having this series, church, for us to learn from the life of Abraham, how can we deepen and grow in our faith? Now, in the third week, we talked about faith and purpose. And basically begin to understand that it takes faith to receive and fulfill God's purposes in our lives. And for this week, we're going to talk about faith and covenant. What does covenant have to do with faith and why is it such a big deal? And for that, can you read your Bibles, whether it's an electronic Bible or it's a printed Bible, read them to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 8 and 17 to 20. And we're going to read of it all together. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 8, it says there, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, Abraham's former name, in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. He said, O Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. For our story today, a quick background about what you just read a while ago. It has been several years or quite some time since God first made his promises to Abraham. Over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about Abraham, God calling him out of Ur, God telling him, "Muna yung promise na mo Abraham." God rescuing Abraham from his troubles in Egypt. And it has been several years, a long time has passed since then. Since God has first given Abraham his promises to him that I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be so blessed that people will be blessed. And you're going to have so many descendants. And you're going to have this huge piece of land. It has been several years since that moment. And God now shows up once again to remind Abraham of his plans for him, of his promises for Abraham. And there's a reason why God had to do so. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, a word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God spoke to Abram in a vision. And he says, your reward shall be very great. Now, before we dive into the meat of the passage, it's important to note that Abram has grown significantly from his previous mistakes, from his previous immaturity, kumbaga. In chapter 14 of verse 22, just to give a short background, Abraham had this big battle with several kings. He had to rescue his nephew Lot. And throughout that battle, he was supposed to receive a great reward from one of the kings. The king of Sodom wanted to give Abraham something. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. So see, Abraham, he didn't want to receive anything from the king. He wanted to trust and rely on God for his reward, for his blessing. And this is a pretty big development from the guy who schemed this way in Egypt for him to get blessings, for him to survive in Egypt. And now, he doesn't even want to receive this treasure or this reward. That's why God came to him in a vision after all these things and told him, your reward is going to be great, Abraham. But in verse 2, there's this tension naman. In verse 2, after God initially spoke to Abraham, but Abraham, again, Abraham's former name, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless. Lord, unsa nga reward may hatag nimo? I still don't have a son. I have this land. I have been blessed. But somehow, Lord, wala gyud ako kay anak. And the ones who take after me, servant na ako, dili kadugo na ako. He even repeats it in verse 3. Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring. Lord, baka gatag na akong anak gyapon. And a member of my household will be my heir. If I was to take that and take it at what it is right now for our modern times, it's like Abraham is telling God, uy, promise nimo ba? Like, uy, Lord, asa yung promise, Lord? Asa tong anak, Lord? You promised me I would be a great nation. I would have many descendants. How is that even possible? If anak man lang usakabok, Lord, wala pa. It has been many years. Perhaps some of us here today, we receive promises from people. Diba? Sometimes kung promise, kung madugay ganit, diba? Sometimes we get impatient. Diba? We, bro, asa tong promise nimo ng libre? Diba? How many of you have experienced that? Uy, asa tong promise nimo? We get impatient in waiting for someone when they promise us something. And your Abraham was frustrated. Okay, Lord, promise nimo ba? When you initially gave me my promise, Lord, bata-bata pa ko ato, Lord. 75 lang ko, Lord. Their time, 75 was like the 40 years old. Mura siya vlogger, di ba? It's just me, Abraham. Join me in my trip. Masya, bata-bata pa siya. But now, several years had passed. He was already aging. And every day, it seemed more impossible na magkaanak pa siya. Because one, 75 years old na siya. His wife was barren. And now, every day, every year, was a step into impossibility. Lord, parang, abi na ako, Lord, kaya. You know, you're amazing and all. But Lord, every day, it's becoming more impossible. And perhaps some of us here today, we can relate a lot to Abraham. We've been holding on something kang God. Okay, maybe it's something that, you know, we've been praying for, fasting for, longing for. Yes, God has blessed you with other things in your life, but there's just one thing in your life na parang, Lord, asa naman to? I've been waiting. I've been believing, Lord. And Lord, parang gamay na lang, gakupot, Lord, nga faith na ako to believe and to hold on. And perhaps some of us here today, we feel frustrated or annoyed. Lord, promise nimo ba, Lord? Asa na to, Lord? It might not be a son. It could be a possession. Lord, kaya na ako, Lord. Kusog biulan sa dumaghete, Lord. Asa na ako to, Lord? Diba, how many of you experienced the strong rains the past few days? Or the strong heat? If you're a student here today, Lord, grado na ako, Lord. Lord, kailangan ko bupasar karong SEM. I need to pass these subjects. Where's my grades, Lord? Or it could be a gadget. Lord, iPhone 10 ba, Lord ba? Or maski any iPhone na lang. Or a house and lot. Or whatever that is. Or for some of you who are single, Lord, asa na siya, Lord? Every Sunday ko nang katos church, Lord. Asa na siya, Lord? Asa ang promise ni mo, Lord? Perhaps some of us here, we can relate to Abraham a lot. Like, God has given you a promise or you've been holding on, clinging to a promise and somehow, every day is becoming more impossible. And how do you live with that? How do you still have the faith to trust God? Verse 4, it continues, God spoke to Abraham, answered Abraham, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, Abraham, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. God spoke to Abraham very bluntly as if it's true already. It's there already. Abraham, your son's gonna be your heir. And take note, wala pa siya anak na to. Wala pa yung baby. Dili ka na yung butis yung kasawa. There's no hint yet that it was gonna happen. And God just simply said, your son is gonna be your heir. Verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He said, Abraham, tala, start gazing da. Look at the stars. Can you count them? Anyone here, you've ever counted the stars? There's so many, you can't. God was trying to tell Abraham a statement. You're still gonna be a father to great many nations. You're gonna have a lot of descendants. You're gonna have a son, and not just a son. If worried lang ang son, guess what? There's gonna be more than just a son coming after that. So shall your offspring and descendant be. If you remember a few verses a while ago in our past installments, God had told Abraham, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Yan ang kadaghan. Now he's telling Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. Still, ina nakadagan. Ang point lang ni God is, Abraham, my promise for you is so big. And this is the third or fourth time God had spoken to Abraham to remind him of his promises. We can learn a lot from this exchange of thoughts. Basically, God is basically being serious with his promises. God told Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to remind you again and again. What I promised to you, I'm going to fulfill it. I am dead serious about my promises. Oh, you're 80 years old now? My promise still stands. Oh, nagkarayuma nakakaroon, gisot naggimok-himok, my promise still stands. I'm still serious. I'm still gonna fulfill your promise. Kung before I told you, dust of the earth, now stars in the sky. Not just an offspring. Level up ang promise. And in verse 6, it says here, and he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord in what he said once again. And as we jump to verse 7, it says here, and he said to him, God spoke to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you the land to possess. God was not just reminding Abraham of his promises, but he was reminding Abraham, remember the start of your journey. Remember when we go back to the whole start of why you're in this land in the first place. Who was it that called you, Abraham? Who was it that told you, get out from this place, go to this land that you do not know of? Who promised you in the first place this land and all these things? Who started all this? Who made this all possible that you could have the faith to believe and start in this journey with me? Ako, I am the one. I am that God. And for many of us here today, we need to be reminded, who was it in the first place who gave those promises to us? Who called us out to believe in Him for these incredible promises in our lives? I believe, church, many of us here today need to be reminded of who was it who gave us those promises, and that is God. And in verse 8, Abraham said, "Oh Lord, how am I to know? Okay, Lord, I believe you. I'm going to trust in your promises once again. Okay, nagka-refresh ko, Lord. But Lord, how do I know that it's going to come to pass? How do I know that I'm going to possess it? Na makuha na ako siya. It's been so many years, Lord. I need something to, you know, keep me going. How do I know? Parang proof lang, Lord, that you're going to fulfill your promise." And even though God didn't need to do anything to sort of satisfy Abraham's proof or need, interestingly, in verse 9, God answered Abraham's question. God did something for Abraham to appease his anxieties and doubts and worries. And this is what God told Abraham. In verse 9, it says here, the Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, okay, that's a cow, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So if you read this, parang ha, mag-count-count ha, mag-pista na Lord. Unsa ni siya? In verse 10, so Abraham presented all this to him and killed them. And he cut each animal down to the middle, gitunga niya na middle, and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Now you might be wondering, what is going on here? It's pretty crazy. Abraham asked God, Lord, how can I know that I'm going to possess it? And God told Abraham, okay, Abraham, bring me a cow, a goat, a ram, a dove, and a pigeon. And at first you would think, unsa ni Lord, magkaon ta, magbudol fight ta, unsa ni Lord. Gipakat niya in half and he laid it side by side, the two halves. And there's great meaning here. What's happening here, church, is what we call a covenant. This is where faith and covenant come together. Well, what is a covenant? Why is it such a big deal? Now, before we get to that, let me just emphasize this point that it was God who initiated a covenant with Abraham. God didn't need to do so, but God did it anyway. And we will appreciate all the more later on as we get to understand what a covenant is. The thought palang, God initiated the covenant. A covenant is basically an agreement between two parties, two people or two groups. It's an agreement. It's what we would call today a contract. It's a serious agreement. Dili siya sabot-sabot lang. Dili siya like, you know, handshake, you know. Basta sabot-sabot rata. This is a serious binding covenant made before people. And one good example of covenant is marriage. In a wedding, anyone here, you dream of getting married one day. Marriage is a good example of a covenant because in marriage, two people, the groom and the bride, come together, agree to be wed to one another and promise to each other. They give vows to one another. Those promises are part of the covenant of those two people. Now, the covenant that was happening in Abraham's case, the reason why natumuma animals is because the way to seal all these covenants, kung sa atong panahon pa, it's a signature. Pirma dere, to formalize or to make a contract true. or make it real. In a covenant, the way to seal off these covenants is to have animals cut into halves, and both the parties would walk through the dead animals while saying that if they are not faithful to the covenant, what's done to the animals can be done to them. It's like walking down the aisle, pero may mga animals sa kilid nimo nga gitunga. Those two parties, for example, if I were to have business with Rodolph here, I'm gonna tell him, bro, akong ibiligya akong kanding for 10 pieces of gold. Oh, gold, no? And musugot siya. Sige, palito na ako. If we were to agree on that with a covenant somehow, we would do that. We would cut certain animals in half. Then we would both walk together down the middle of those animals. And practically, what that means is we are both proclaiming na if we don't fulfill our end of the bargain, our end of the deal, of the covenant, may what happened to the animals happen to us. It's that serious. There's a consequence to the covenant. We're basically declaring that death or the fate of the animals may happen to us if we don't become faithful with our end of the contract or the covenant rather. And that's why there was that whole thing about the animals. And in verse 17, it says here, when the sun had gone down, when it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. I have a picture just to illustrate, to make us see it. This is basically a representation of God passing through those animals. God allowed to bind himself with the covenant with Abraham. Like, it's basically God telling Abraham, I'm dead serious with my promises with you. That I'm willing to enter into a covenant with you, Abraham. Yan ako sa serious akong promise nimo. All those parts of covenant, I'm willing to go for the covenant. And verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, tanang mga Ites, okay, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim. I'm gonna give you that land, Abraham. And that was the covenant right there. And you might be asking, wait, abi na ko two parties. Where was Abraham all this time? If you remember, who was it that passed through the animals? Who was it? It was God who passed through the animals. You want to know where Abraham was at this time when God passed through the animals? Verse 12 says here, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. Nakatulog si Abraham. He slept. In other words, Abraham's covenant with God, only God went through the animals. Ang requirements lang, kailangan na siya i-fulfill, is on God's end lang. Abraham had nothing to do for the promises of God to be fulfilled in his life. Wala requirements ang Abraham. It was only on God. It was God himself who passed through the animals. Abraham didn't do so. There was no pressure for him to fulfill his end of the covenant. And yet God allowed this to happen. What we have here is what we call a promissory covenant or a one-sided or unconditional covenant. There's no condition for Abraham, only for God. God be faithful with his promises and it will be fulfilled. For Abraham, wala lang. He just has to trust and have faith in God. And this is a pretty big important thing because basically it was God who walked through the dead animals and making himself legally bound to fulfill his part of the covenant, but not Abraham. You know why? God knew that Abraham, human as he would fail time and time again. If Abraham was to pass through the animals, if he would fail just once, he wouldn't be able to receive the promise of God, void ang promise. But God, in his grace, in his mercy with Abraham, wanted Abraham to experience his promises and allowed Abraham not to pass through the animals. So meaning, kang gadlatanan ang requirements. It's pretty amazing. In Hebrews 6 verse 17 says here, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. It's like God is telling Abraham, oh, may pirma na. Abraham, may pirma na. May covenant na Abraham. I am going to fulfill my promise to you. Whatever promises I've given you all those years ago, it still stands. Nakapirma na siya. I'm gonna make it happen. I'm going to do so. And fast forward, years later, in the life of Abraham, Joshua 21, verse 43 says here, thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settle there. Take note, the Lord gave to Israel all the land that He swore to give to their fathers. God swore to give a piece of land to Abraham. He promised to do so. God promised Abraham descendants and offspring. He got it. God had fulfilled and was fulfilling His promises to Abraham, even though it would take years to happen. But the point is, God was faithful to fulfill His covenant with Abraham. And this considering that Abraham and his people, the Israelites, they were not a perfect people. We're talking a group of people here who failed God time and time again. Abraham, his family, his descendants, they all failed God. Remember that time that they were wandering in the desert for 40 years because they would fail God in their disobedience and lack of faith time and again. And yet God, because of His faithfulness to His covenant, still allowed it to happen that these people, Abraham's descendants, would experience His promise to Abraham and his family. God still allowed it to happen. God's covenant stands despite our doubts. God's covenant stands despite our failures, despite our anxieties, despite our inability to trust Him initially. His promises, His purposes for us stands. And that's pretty amazing, church. These promises for you and for me stands, even though we might feel like uska threat na lang hold on sa faith nato sa promises ni God. His promises stands. Now you might ask, okay, it's a great story about Abraham. May pa sa Abraham, he was in doubt, he was anxious, he was worried, but God came to the rescue, refreshed him in his faith, renewed his faith, made a covenant with him that so he could believe great things from God. What about us? What about us who would relate to Abraham? Lord, where's my promise, the Lord? Where's the answer to my promise? What about us? What does it mean for us? How do we respond to this? Well, the good thing for us, the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham's covenant with God, it affects us, not just him. Because God's covenant with Abraham, let's say three distinct features, a promise for land, a promise for descendants, and a promise for blessing and redemption. And the third promise, blessing and redemption, its ultimate fulfillment foreshadows the promise of forgiveness and sins. The ultimate fulfillment of God's promise for Abraham for being a great blessing to many people and redemption happening. The ultimate fulfillment of that was His new covenant. What God was going to do hundreds of years later pa. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. There have been many covenants throughout the years. And yet God was speaking to His prophets, telling them that there's going to be another new covenant. Pa. A new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. Okay, not like the one with Abraham or David. When I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. In verse 34, interestingly, it says here, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, meaning their sins, and I will remember their sin no more. There was this upcoming new covenant that was the fulfillment, the final fulfillment of Abraham's covenant with God. The new covenant. And here's the amazing thing about the new covenant. The new covenant or the new testament is a promise that God makes with humanity that He will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose hearts turn toward Him. That God's gonna do something to redeem mankind so that our sins may be forgiven. So we can have eternal life with Him. It's an amazing covenant because nothing that we'll ever do will make us sinless, will atone of our sins. It's only God who can save and do something with our sins. And in Luke 22, verse 20, the answer to this covenant, this new covenant, says here, and likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Whose blood? It's Jesus' blood. The new covenant will be fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and His death on the cross is the basis of this promise. What am I saying about this so much? You know, big deal ni for us? Because here's the thing, the new covenant is many times greater than the covenant Abraham even got. Kang Abraham, physical blessings, a land, many offspring, all that. But this new covenant with God through Jesus is a covenant, a promise that to those who are in Him, in Christ, we are completely and totally forgiven of our sins. John chapter 3, verse 16. I didn't get to put it up there, but because for God so loved the world that whoever believes Him will not perish but have eternal life. That sort of promise, eternal life, to be eternally with God after we physically die, that kind of promise from God, that kind of covenant from God, that our eternity assured na. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, by Jesus' death on the cross. We have been forgiven, we have been freed from our sins, we have been grafted and included in God's family to be called children of God. And here's the thing, when you're a child of someone, when you're part of a family, you get special privileges. If you're part of a family, you can open the ref, you can ask something from your parents, you have access to your parents or to your family members that no one else has. A visitor can't just go in your house and, you know, abril nilang ref ninyo, matulog just kwarto nimo. But those in your family can. They have special rights, privileges, and blessings. Here's the thing. For all of us here today, church, who are believers and followers of Jesus, who are part of God's family, we are part of this new covenant, this promise that God has given to us, that our sins have been forgiven, and that we get to be part of His family. And that speaks a lot to us, to those here who are believing something from God, you're holding on to our promise of God. Know this, that you are God's child. That if ang eternity pa lang nato secured na from God, how much more the earthly things of this world? If our eternity has been assured, secured, and paid for through Christ's death on the cross, then how much more the earthly promises that God has given to us? And may that be a great encouragement to us. If God can answer our biggest need, how much more the other needs as well? I want to wrap up with this. Faith is based on a promise sealed by a covenant, initiated and completed by God Himself. Faith is based from God's covenant, God's promise to us. And it is sealed, initiated, and fulfilled by God Himself. It's amazing that even in this new covenant, you know what we did, our part, the new covenant? Nothing. We are mere recipients of God's promises, much like Abraham was. And may this remind us, church, just how much of a position of blessing we are being part of God's family. Now, yes, God's promises might not happen immediately. I'm not assuming that after this service, pagawas ninyo sa door, nanang promise ni God, mabot. Not yet right after. But my simple point here is that we can take comfort in the fact that God's promise will be there. God is faithful to complete and fulfill His promise in our lives.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.